Good morning. Welcome to our service at Water Lane this morning, and a warm welcome to any visitors joining us today. Welcome also if you're listening later to the recording of the service, and a warm welcome to David, who'll be leading our worship this morning. Sunday kids have their Christmas party this morning, so the children will be leaving us shortly to go to that. Everyone is very welcome to join us for coffee in the lounge after the service. This evening at 7:30, we have the carols by candlelight, when we'll be joined by our friends from the URC, both in the congregation and the choir, which will also be swelled by the voices of the Poynton male voice choir, which should be very worth listening to. And this will be followed by coffee and mince pies. So that's 7:30 this evening. Now we move on to the lighting of the Advent candles by Joshua and Olivia.
Today we light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle of joy. When the angel Gabriel told Mary that a special child would be born to her, she was filled with joy. She sang a song that began with the words, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Just as the birth of Jesus gave great joy to his mother, so his presence in the world gave joy to those who had none before. He healed them and gave them hope and peace when they believed in him. From hope, peace and love, our earlier candles grow joy.
We light the candle of joy to remind us that when Jesus is born in us, we have joy, and that through him there will be everlasting joy on earth. Joy is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at this candle, we celebrate the joy we find in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the joy you give us. We ask that as we wait for your promises to come true and for Christ to work, we help you come with us. Help us today and every day to worship you, to hear your word, and to do your will, sharing your joy with each other. We ask it in the name of the one who is born in Bethlehem. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you on this fourth Sunday of Advent. And so, our call to worship is from Isaiah. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and everyone shall see it. And so to complete our Advent candle lighting liturgy, we shall sing the first five verses of 174 in our books, Light a Candle in a Darkened Place.
Oh, Lord, loving we
Remember that? Wonderful. Wonderful. So the original song by Phil Collins, off his first solo album in 1981, after he'd left the band Genesis, something biblical there, I think. But perhaps even more of us will remember that glorious Cadbury's advert from 12 years ago. It's so powerful, the emotion of the gorilla. That first part of the advert is so packed with a sense of expectation, of anticipation. You look at his face, the eyes, the nostrils, and then the twitching of the head. You know something big is going to happen. You may not have listened to the words because it's so captivating to look at. Phil Collins said he doesn't really know what the song was about. He wrote the music and then just improvised the words and stuck with them, stayed with them, quite spontaneous. So in the advert, and that shortened version of it, they just used the first two lines over and over. And with these words, the ad's brilliant sense of anticipation, drama, and then release when the gorilla starts drumming. See, this is my alternative Advent anthem. The words, I can feel it coming in the air tonight, O Lord. And I've been waiting for this moment all my life, O Lord. During Advent, we wait, and as we wait, our excitement grows, and as we prepare for the coming of the baby Jesus, our excitement grows. As we wait for this unstoppable force that is God coming down to us in the person of our Saviour, closing the gap between heaven and earth. So Phil Collins says he's not quite sure why he came up with those words. I'm quite happy to adopt them and to sing them about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you can. So let's play it again. And if you can pick up the words, I can feel it coming in the air tonight, O Lord. And I've been waiting for this moment all my life, O Lord. Sing along, but most of all, let's have some drumming when the drumming comes in. Okay, are you ready?
Coming in the air tonight.
children are going to leave us for their party, I understand. So God bless, God go with you. Let us pray. Wonderful God, we thank you for the priceless gift that we call life, for the time to live it, for the peace to explore it, for the dreams that lift us, and for the hope that encourages us. We thank you for the coming of the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, into this world. Thank you that you teach us to see you and know you through him, that you are the God of grace and love, and through you lives are changed. We thank you that Jesus shows us we need never be afraid of the past, of the present, or the future. He is Emmanuel, always with us, and he comes to us anew this Christmas, seeking us out. Always Emmanuel, God with us, this precious, precious gift. Lord, we are so thankful for our fellowship here and our opportunity to share together in this worship, seeking forgiveness, encouragement, knowing that we are at the heart of your love, and we seek your will and guidance on how we might share that love in the days and weeks to come. We ask these prayers in and through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. What's in a name? I'm guessing that most of you know the meaning of your given names, your Christian names. See, mine is David, which means beloved or beloved. And I'm very grateful for that name, very thankful for that. It's one of the best known names in the Bible. My parents could have chosen one of the lesser or stranger names in the Bible, such as Dodo. Don't hear many Dodos, do you? Mentioned in Judges. Bigtha. Bigtha, that's a good name. Don't hear of many Bigthas. Or Buzz. B-U-Z. Although that, I think, probably seems quite cool now with its sort of use in America. So has anyone been given an unusual name by their parents? Anything quite out of the ordinary? No, a lot of head shaking. See, there are some amazing names, especially those given to American children. Mr. and Mrs. Duck call their son. Correct. Mr. and Mrs. Park call their child, harder to guess, Jurassic. It's true. Mr. and Mrs. Costa call their son Rolo. Rolo Costa. And Mr. and Mrs. Bacon presented their son with the brilliant name of Crisp P. Bacon. Perhaps the most unusual and romantic is the given name Return. In the 18th century, during the American War of Independence, a young lady repeatedly rejected the advances of a young man, until finally he was ready to give up, and he climbed on his horse to ride away. And then she relented and cried out to him, "Return, Jonathan, return." And since then, the name Return Jonathan has been continued through that family. Return Jonathan. And then there are the people whose names tend to be drawn, with a name that tends to be drawn to a profession when they're grown up. So a profession that fits their name. Nominative determinism. So it's called. So until just a few years ago, the top judge in the country, the Lord Chief Justice, was Lord Judge. A New York lawyer is called Sue Yu. And Samsung obviously has to work in technology. Mr. Payne and Mr. Hurt, sadly, became dentists. In our Bible readings today, we will hear about the naming of the baby Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua and means Savior. The Lord saves. Describes God's purpose in sending his Son into our world to set us free to live amazing lives, saved from the things that we do wrong, saved to live in harmony with God, living as part of God's eternal loving family. That's good news. And so we're going to sing about that good news. Hymn number 201. Good news to you we bring. Joan tells me the intro on her wonderful music machine there is a very long one, so you'll get umpteen fanfares, and then there is a da-da-da-da-da. And that's when we're supposed to start singing. So here's hoping. Merciful Lord, you bring us good news, the best news. And we are sorry that our response is less than you seek, less even than we expect of ourselves. When we are envious or seek to promote ourselves, when our anger is roused, our frustration fueled by the challenges of the day, and we can put up with almost nothing before our own aims and concerns, we recognize we have fallen short of your law of love, and we say sorry. Father, forgive us, and we offer our confession to you, Lord. We trust ourselves to you afresh, for you are the God of love and mercy, and you are faithful to the end. Amen. We now have our readings. The first one is from Isaiah 7, the second, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1.
Isaiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, The young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you deserted.
The reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. Amen.
If I were to ask you for three words that sum up Christmas, that describe Christmas to you, what might you come up with?
Love.
Baby. Baby.
Jesus.
Jesus. Yep.
Giving.
Giving.
Birthday.
Birthday. All good answers. Peace, love, goodwill. All those sort of things we see attached to Christmas messages. Some might even say expensive, excess, exhaustion. I want to suggest to you three words that are at the very heart of Christmas and what Christmas ought to be about. They come from our readings this morning. Our main text from Matthew reveals in verse 23 where the angel appears to Joseph and quotes from the prophet Isaiah, "Look, the virgins shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel." Emmanuel. And that's the word, the name I want us to think about for the next few minutes. Now, Emmanuel doesn't sound like three words, does it? Except if you're a follower of Strictly Come Dancing and aware of the judge Craig Revel Horwood, who reserves his ultimate description of the best performances he sees on that show in three words, he always says, fabulous. And so, in Craig's style, I suppose we could say Emmanuel could be three words. But it's the English translation of Emmanuel that I want us to look at. God with us. God with us. Three Christmas words for us to reflect on. Beginning with God. So immediately we are told that Christmas is about God. What is so extraordinary about Christmas is what it tells us about God. What it reveals to us about God. After all, we may have our own ideas about who God is, what he is. Really, it stretches our powers of understanding quite considerably to imagine very clearly what God is like. A major theologian once described the human heart as an idol factory. I-D-O-L. Idol factory. In other words, we create God in our own image, imagining how we think God must be or how God ought to be. The truth is, if we're going to know anything about God, what God is like, God must show himself, must reveal something of himself to us. And as Christians, we believe that this is what he does at Christmas through the birth of Jesus Christ. Here we see God become flesh. Here we see God with a human face, revealing truths about God that we could never otherwise know. See, this is the staggering thing about Christmas. In that tiny, vulnerable baby in a manger, we find God with us. God coming among us. The Creator becoming created, breathing, crying, eventually walking in our shoes, experiencing life from our side. And everything flows from there. The world changes. Human life changes when you believe that God has come alongside us and become one of us. So what about our second word, with? God with us. What a world there is in that small word. In one way, it just confirms what we are already saying about God, that this God is one who comes to be with us, to walk among us, to be in our skin. But there is also another way that we can think about the word with. If I say to you that I am with you, it might mean that I am present beside you, but it might also mean that I am on your side. So if you're having an argument and you tell me about it and I say, I'm with you, it means that I'm supporting you. I agree with you. I'm backing you up. And this, again, is the good news of Christmas. Not just that God is with us, is present in our midst, but that God is with us, on our side. Going back to the primitive ideas of what God is like, they often portray God as someone who delights in scolding us, forbids us from enjoying ourselves, and above all, someone who is forever judging us. A God with anger issues sometimes, who casts a shadow over human life. When I think of God with us, I think of that marvellous passage in Paul's letter to the Romans, where Paul thinks of all the things that diminish and that spoil human life. All the deathly things that seem to be against us and that resist life. And Paul concludes joyfully, "If God is for us, who is against us?" Or he might equally have said, "If God is with us, who can be against us?" And just think of what strength there is in that statement. Think of all the things that might crush, all that might cause us to lose heart and give up. Think of the pain that befalls us, or can befall us, loss, sickness, and so on. Think of people humiliated by oppression and exploitation. Think of refugees fleeing tyranny and brutality. Think of political prisoners languishing in jails. Well, think of this. Whoever or whatever is against them, God is for them. Whoever or whatever is against them, God is with them. Hallelujah. In this context, that word "with" is a defiant word. And from it there begins the fight back and the courage to resist. God with us. Our third word. What about that word "us"? Let's think of it this way. God is what unites us and binds us together. Binds us together as humanity. After all, we live in a world of such diversity and difference, different nations, different languages, each individual unique, and there is so much that differentiates and separates us as human beings. But what is there that unites us? What holds us together? What makes us us? An entirely secular world which has banished God struggles to find a basis for unity, grounds for discerning what is common to all, as well as what distinguishes us and makes us different. As Christians, we believe in one God, creator of all. And we believe in one, Jesus Christ, Saviour of all. As Christians, we assert that God so loved the world that he sent his Son that we might not perish, but that we might have eternal life. And this is the love that binds us together in one common humanity. As Christians, we look into the face of every human being and we see there the image of God that gives us a family resemblance in one common family, making us brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. This is the good news. Emmanuel, God with us. Three words that sum up Christmas. God, not just any God, not a God that we make up for ourselves, but the God we see revealed in the birth and the life and the ministry and the healing and the forgiving and the dying and the rising of this Galilean preacher. God with. God who is on our side, who gives us the courage to resist all that is deathly and destructive and that diminishes life. God with us, the God who unites us into one family, where we discern one another as brothers and sisters, and where we find the basis for peace and love and goodwill. Amen. Now, a Wesley hymn that proclaims the name and grace of our Saviour, 357 in the hymn books, Jesus, the name high over all, 357. Let us respond to God now by making our offering. Thank you. God with us, bless these gifts and the givers, that they may be used faithfully in your service, and that your love will fill our hearts so that we may reach out to those most in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll lead us into our prayers of intercession, prayers for others and ourselves, and then I'll leave a space for you to pray, to reflect aloud or in silence about the matters on your heart. So let us pray. Blessed Saviour, whose approaching birth still shakes the world, may we accept your life-changing gift and take it to our hearts. May your call to us embrace the labour pangs of the new age of Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you today for the good news of Emmanuel. We see you present in the world and pray today for you to be at work wherever human life is threatened, wherever hatred and division is ruining lives, wherever people feel abandoned and forsaken. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, bring peace, we pray, the peace that comes from justice and from forgiveness and reconciliation. We thank you that here in this baby in Bethlehem, we see you standing by us, our advocate and helper, God with us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for those who need salvation from war and violence and hunger and neglect. We pray for all people everywhere who, through oppression and indoctrination, are held down from being the people you call them to be. We pray for those who feel that life is against them, who struggle with illness or loss, those who feel alone, abandoned or betrayed, those who suffer from anxiety and depression, those who wrestle with addiction. We recognize, Lord, that Christmas is a time that heightens so many feelings, feelings of love and of pain. We pray for those who pay the price of human greed and selfishness, the homeless and the hungry. Especially pray for children who need love and care and tenderness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Lord Jesus, we pray for those in need of your love, especially at this time. For those afraid, for those in hospital, and those at home with illness. We pray for the bereaved, for Mary and David and their family. We remember in our prayers those living through their last days. Grant that through your most wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, they and their loved ones may know their worth to you and find peace and a deep healing, light out of darkness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray that here before this baby in Bethlehem we can bow together as one human family. Unite us, we pray, and overcome our divisions. We pray today for world leaders and politicians, that they may drive away despair from our politics, bring unity to a disordered and fractured world. We pray for your church, that it may be a sign of unity, a sign of sisterhood and brotherhood, as we bear witness to the one God with us and his Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, thank you for the kindness and compassion of your people, and pray that even more will share your blessings in the weeks to come. It is time to embrace Emmanuel, to live our lives with Emmanuel at the heart of all we do. And rejoicing in the presence of God here among us, let us pray in the words our Saviour gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. To close, a favourite traditional carol, one to help us prepare for our celebrations to come, and also to prepare for our carol service this evening. I'm sure you'll be in very good voice for that. So, we welcome our Saviour from heaven's highest bliss down to a world such as this. Number 215 in the books, See Amid the Winter's Snow. Christ child is coming so we can begin again. The Son of God becomes like us, that we may be made like him. The Prince of Peace is within us. We can journey in confidence. Jesus is his name, and he now sends us out to bear his name and share his love. Amen.